Well, I was a drinking man in those days, and I used to go to a speakeasy, which was right over the top of a place called Jesus Lighthouse. And it was a messy place, but I loved it. And the driver for the police chief used to play cribbage in the back room with the fellow that ran the speakeasy. One night I was sitting up there, I suppose, half loaded, and from out of the air, the radio obviously, came this sound. And I thought, that's an incredible thing has happened. There's a child singing on the radio. And I listened, and I thought, this is the most innocent voice I've ever heard in my life. It must be an adult, but who? That's in, well, before Prohibition ended, so it was probably about 1929 to 30. And I guess she was singing with Whiteman at the time.
That night, then, you were listening to Mildred Bailey.
I was indeed.
We invite you now to spend an hour with American composer and songwriter Alec Wilder and friends as they discuss and perform American popular songs. With Mr. Wilder at the piano is his colleague and fellow songwriter, Lunis McLuhan, and today's special guest, popular jazz singer and song stylist, Miss Teddy King. Our subject, Mildred Bailey and the Band Singers.
That was a theme song for a lady named Mildred Bailey.
Sure
who
was.
Sang for over a quarter of a century.
That's right.
And all kinds of music and had more influence, I guess, than almost any other white singer
on the jazz
oriented singers. And
probably the first band singer to boom.
Oh, really?
I think so. I don't remember another band singer until Mildred was Whiteman.
She was really a legend, and, I feel lucky, Alec. I know you agree that Teddy King is with us today to sing some songs from Mildred's song bag. And Teddy recently, of course, has done a great tribute to Mildred Bailey.
And I did the tribute for precisely the reasons that you were saying. She was a great influence on me, and probably one of the reasons I might have become a singer.
You know, she did a lot of tunes that are associated with us, but I'm sure she did songs that you wouldn't call Mildred Bailey songs, but one I think of is Honeysuckle Rose, because she must have had a lot of fun doing that.
Sure, she liked to have fun, yeah. She liked to giggle.
Have no use for other sweets of any kind since the day you came around. From the start I instantly made up my mind, sweeter sweetness can't be found. You're so sweet, can't be beat, nothing sweeter ever stood on feet. Every honeybee fills with jealousy when they see you out with me. I don't blame them, goodness knows, Honeysuckle Rose. When you're passing by, flowers droop and sigh, and I know the reason why. You're much sweeter, goodness knows, Honeysuckle Rose. Don't buy sugar, you just have to touch my cup. You're my sugar, it's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, Honeysuckle Rose. have to touch my cup. You're my sugar. It's sweet when you stir it up. When I'm taking sips from your tasty lips, seems the honey fairly drips. Your confection, goodness knows, you're my honeysuckle rose. Your confection, my honeysuckle rose.
Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah,
that was
thank
fine.
You, Teddy.
Well, it was fun. Thank you.
Mildred, and when I heard that, a concert she did on that song once, I think she overloaded a little bit because she was finishing up a concert and kind of whiplashed it off. But it wasn't just swinging that she was after, because she did like to do that, and she liked to get players around her that swung a lot. But she also had a very sentimental attachment to very warm ballads. She was a very sentimental woman. Now the song that she sang many years ago, Ghost of a Chance, I wouldn't have figured Mildred singing, yet there was this, remember, she was a large lady and had once been a very small lady, and maybe the dreams of the small person spilled
also,
over.
That was recorded by Crosby.
That's right, her very close friend. I think she maybe started his career.
That's a nice tune.
Oh, it's a lovely song.
I have found that a lot of singers like to sing the song. It's a singable song. It's, it flows nicely.
It's a singer's song.
Yes, absolutely.
I need your love so badly. I love you, oh, so madly. But I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. I thought at last I'd found you, but other loves surround you, and I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you. If you'd surrender just for a tender kiss or two, you might discover that I'm the lover meant for you, and I'd be true. But what's the good of scheming? I know I must be dreaming, for I don't stand a ghost of a chance with you.
Of course, the theme song for Mildred Bailey, though, is Rocking Chair.
That's sure. I could never think of it any other way than just Mildred's song. In fact, I never really thought much about the song. It's a perfectly nice song. It's Mr. Carmichael's. He was always a wrote well, except there are certain lyrical things about it that bugged me a little bit. Well, Aunt Harriet, for heaven's sake, you know it's only there because he wants to rhyme with Sweet Charity. And it's like telegraphing a punch, but when Mildred sang it, it was Aunt Harriet. Right. Nobody else.
How did she happen to latch onto the song? How did it become associated with her?
I never did find out. I never did. Maybe because of her, you know, she's a pretty big lady, and maybe she felt as if she should be singing sitting down. Not in the same way that Miss Mercer does, because she sits up, not sits down.
You think Mildred was going to rock?
Yeah, she was going to rock.
It's a nice song. I guess we ought to do it for Mildred.
Let's do it for Mildred.
Old rocking chairs got me chained by my side. Fetch me that gin, son, for I tan your hide. Can't get from this cabin. Go in nowhere. Just sit me here grabbing at the flies around this rocking chair. My dear old Aunt Harriet, in heaven she be. Send me a sweet chariot for the end of the trouble I see. Old rocking chair gets it. Judgment day is here. Chained to my rocking chair. My dear old Aunt Harriet, in heaven she be. Swing low, sweet chariot, for the end of the trouble I see. Old rocking chair gets it. Judgment day is near. Chained to my old rocking chair. Chained to my rocking chair.
I heard that Mattie Melnick, I made the first arrangement for her when she was with Whiteman.
You mean Rockin' Chair?
Rockin' Chair, yeah. And forgive me, you did a fine job of it.
Yeah, but
I'm just thinking about the song, why it all happened. It may be because when she did it in Chicago, she was on rather uneasy terms with Mr. Whiteman. I mean, I don't think she was doing too well. And that song was put on she did it on the air and got such response.
It saved her job.
Saved her job.
Well, I'm glad it did for many, many reasons. But I know that you wrote a number of tunes for her, but one specific song, and it appeals to me, it has always appealed to me musically and lyrically. It really hits home because
You got to be talking about It's So Peaceful in the Country.
That's the one.
It's got the wildest bass line.
Well, you're talking musically, and I'm talking both ways, lyrically and musically. I love the verse. I'm a verse person. I understand that Mildred was a verse person.
Yeah, I stuck the verse on because of, I think I wrote it without one, and then when she got interested in the song, which, by the way, I didn't write to even to be published, let alone recorded. She wanted a verse, and I wrote it quite a while after I'd written the tune.
Were you walking out in the woods, Alec, when you wrote that song?
I wrote it in the back room in the Algonquin.
Oh, come on.
I had to blow the dust off the piano. And, you know, there have been people who have said, he wrote it on our piano up in the Berkshires. No. And it never was that much of a hit for them to make such a claim, but...
No, but that's the other reason that it appeals to me.
It's also your lyric.
Yeah, it's my lyric, yes.
You see, but that's the other reason that it appeals to me. I live in an urban area, and I'm surrounded by stone, and I miss the greenery. And I know that Mildred had a place up
she
in
did,
the country,
indeed.
And she missed it terribly.
Well, that's why I wrote it as a present for her, because she was stuck in the city.
The skyline of New York is a splendid sight. I know Chicago's loop is magical at night. The natives of Cleveland, of Frisco and Boston, and natives of cities a stranger gets lost in. All of them tell you their city's the best, from deep in the south and from out in the west. Perhaps it's all true, but from my point of view, it's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. You really ought to try it. You walk about and talk about the pleasant things in life. It's so restful in the country. It's the right kind of diet. You really ought to try it. You read a book or try to cook like any good man's wife. City living is a pretty living. It's so full of unexpected thrills. But there's too much stone, too much telephone. There's too much of everything but trees and hills. It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. Someday you're bound to try it. The only place to be, the place for you and me, where it's peaceful in the country.
Peaceful in the Country was associated with Mildred the rest of her life, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was.
Well, that's kind of nice. It's not as old as a song that Vincent Humans wrote, which is, I think, it's more popular today than Peaceful is. It's Sometimes I'm Happy. But that song...
Did he write that in 1922?
Yeah, 1922. Irving Caesar wrote the lyric, and I never quite understood why it's worked the way it has. But you remember that marvelous Fletcher Henderson arrangement for Benny?
Benny, yeah.
On it moves. It's a very simple song. It has no pretensions at all, and it repeats itself, but it swings. I think that's what it really does.
That's probably why it doesn't go out of date.
And that's right. Probably why Mildred liked it.
That's
she
right.
heard that.
Because it swings.
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. I never mind the rain from the sky if I can find the sun in your eyes. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, it's 'cause I love you. That's how I am. So what can I do? I'm happy when I'm with you. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you, but when I hate you, that's 'cause I love you. That's how I am. So what can I do? I am happy when I'm so happy when I'm happy.
You made us happy, Teddy.
Oh,
yes,
good. Not just sometimes.
That's right. There was a fellow very closely connected to Mildred by the name of Henry Nemo.
Right.
One of the strangest men I ever met, because he was a Broadway type. He was a... Well, if he's alive, he'll sue me. So I can't call him a con man. You see, I'm saying I can't. but he could... I've known times when he is... gone into offices and sold shows that didn't exist. He'd tell a whole plot and then sell it. And then make it up as he went along. And he, all that nonsense. I remember walking through a five and dime store with him and Mildred one time. I had to leave because they had the place in an uproar. They just absolutely kicked each other off. They were on the floor most of the time.
They had an act going. Huh?
They had an act going all the time. Well, he wrote some songs, for example, Don't Take Your Love From Me, which I think Mildred thought of as maybe her favorite song.
Oh, yeah?
Because there was nothing about Henry to suggest anything but the immediate creativity of the con, kind of the tap dance, fast vaudeville talk. And I had a friend who was formerly in the record business, let him be nameless, who didn't like one part of the lyric of Don't Take Your Love From Me, because he thought it was a very ugly image to tear the wings from birds that they can't fly. It really is rather extraordinary. But, again, when Mildred sang it, you didn't feel
revulsion.
No revulsion at all.
Uh-huh.
But it was so funny that that's what kept Mildred...
How their relationship...
Yeah, well, Mildred, you see, one of the clues to Mildred all the time was laughter, you know, except in those terrible moments when she decided that some little tiny thing was wrong, and then poor Red would get it, all her friends would get it, because she'd become not the great lady so much as the demander. And, but the laughing people, the Joe Venutis and the Henry Nemos... everything was always cool with them because the laughter just kept going.
I think we ought to close out the Mildred Bailey tribute with Don't Take Your Love. But I don't think the Audubon Society is going to call you about the
wings from the birds. I hope not.
We'll try.
All right.
Tear a star from out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the rose weeps too. Take your heart away from mine, and mine will surely break. My life is yours to make, so please keep the spark awake. Would you take the wings from birds so that they can't fly? Would you take the ocean's roar and leave just a sigh? All this your heart won't let you do. This is what I beg of you. Don't take your love from me. All this your heart won't let you do. This is what I beg of you. Don't.